Well, unless my eyes and ears deceive me, which is a perfect possibility, this is the broadcast from Feed My Sheep Ministries in the city of Fresno. It's a beautiful early Friday afternoon as this is being recorded, and we're sitting in an unmarked vehicle. Well, it's my vehicle sitting in my driveway, and as we've done before, next to me in the riding shotgun is the founder and the director of Feed My Sheep Ministries, Bruce Hood. Haven't seen you in a couple of weeks.
It's been a while, Ken, but you know, you're always very near to me. Some kind of way I hear the name Ken Adams, Ken Adams, Ken Adams.
Hopefully it's not people hunting me down that I owe money to.
No, not those people. It's just people that hear you on the radio.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that they're paying attention, and even greater blessing that the message of Feed My Sheep is getting out and folks hearing what the ministry is doing. And well, that's the result of consistency over the course of, what, 8 or 9 years here on KRDU?
Yeah, it's been some time. And it has paid off, Ken. God has used KRDU's broadcast to really open doors for Feed My Sheep Ministries to go in to other areas of the city, and also to provide the things that we need to do outreach and ministry. You know, and that's, Ken, we're a church just like any other church, but our main focus is outreach, mm-hmm. pretty much constantly. And so God has really opened the doors to do outreach, being here on KRDU.
Of course, you don't neglect the church itself, the main facility at Lemon and Plumas in West Fresno, right there in the middle of Modoc gang territory, and Bruce was well aware of that when he set up shop there. The way you describe it, Bruce, with it seems like every block has a different gang, usually named after the street. Huh?
Yes. But, they don't bother us. As a matter of fact, they love us. You know, most of the community is over to the church for one or some reason all the time. We try to keep the church pretty much active and keep a flame burning there at the church for the attractive community. I know for Easter Sunday, Ken, we'll be out there, and we're gonna be feeding the whole community. Mm. We've got a truckload of chicken and hot dog wieners that came in, and also the Poverello House is going to be giving us a truckload of pastries, pies, and cakes, and things like that. And we're going to be feeding that neighborhood Easter Sunday, and Easter egg hunt for the kids. So we got a big day coming up next Sunday. Yay. Yeah, and we're going to kind of have a quick service Sunday morning, and then we're going to meet the community outside there on the grass, and then and we'll have another service when we get outside.
There you go. Yeah. Meeting the needs spiritually and physically to the men, the women, and the children in that neighborhood in West Fresno. So, been a couple of weeks, like I said. So there's a lot of, this is probably not a surprise to anybody who's a believer, who's committed to walking with God. Distractions, distractions, distractions. It's like they just pop up all over the place constantly, don't they?
All the time. You know, especially, you know, I'm starting to really understand, you know, when the scriptures share with us how that, you know, persecution and the trials will come and things, it's really starting to hit home. You know, the longer I walk with God, the more clear it gets. Yeah. You know, and then it gets like where you can see it's a direct hit from the enemy. It's not just something that kind of happened or just something by chance happened, but it's a direct hit. Yeah. You know, and the persecution comes, and you can see it as a direct hit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, you know, I'm learning as I'm walking with God. You know, there was a time when I read things about, persecution, where James said, count it all joy. You know, when you fall and die with temptation, knowing this and trying to your faith.
And that's the verse we all embrace with a big smile on our face.
Yeah. So, I've been reading things like that and then having things happen, you know, here and there. But then I guess what I'm saying, as I'm going along and getting further and further along with God, it gets to be where, you know, the scripture's jumping off the page of the Bible, and it's reality. Man, this is exactly the way Jesus said it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's happening just like he told us it happened.
I know I'm guilty of it. Maybe one or two other people are as well, but it's like sometimes I have selective amnesia. I've read the scriptures. I know where they're in there. And Jesus said, when tribulation comes, what I wanted him to say, if tribulation comes. And sometimes we're doing the will of God in our lives. We're seeking him, and everything seems to be going wrong. Like you said, resistance and persecution, and you're thinking, wow, what am I doing wrong? Well, granted, it could be you're doing something wrong. I mean, our own dumb mistakes will give us a world of trouble. A lot of times it's because you're doing something very right, and the enemy is not going to relinquish territory without a fight.
Well, you know, Ken, it's for sure when we seek after the welfare of other people, whether spiritual, physical needs, or whatever it is that we attending to and looking over, you for sure going to get, you know, some resistance from the enemy.
Yeah.
You know, that's when he's mostly bothered, when we want to love other people and do some good for other people. That's when he's mostly bothered. And, you know, and I'm noticing that, you know, every time that we get out there and, you know, we want to do something for other people, then you pretty much are sure the trial and the persecution will come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to, if you're going to be persecuted, which is inevitable in the Christian walk, be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Don't be persecuted because you're doing dumb stuff. And Bruce and I know about the dumb stuff. We've done plenty of that, both of us, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Thank God it's over with. Amen.
I sure hope so, in my case.
me too. I'm right with you, buddy. Yeah.
So I guess it just, if you're out there and you're being persecuted and in something right now, check your heart and you go, okay, go down the checklist. Am I doing everything to the best of my ability, or, you know, am I aiming at the target? You're not going to hit the target every time, but at least am I aiming at the target, or, you know, is there something amiss in my life? And if you go down the checklist and say, I'm doing what God told me to do, well, then rejoice. That means you're having an impact. That means you're taking territory away from the dark side.
Amen, brother. Yeah, amen.
So here it is, gosh, almost the end of March. Where's the year going? We're almost a quarter of the way through 2013. And what's the emphasis right now? I know in years past it's been planning on car shows and block parties and outreaches, and I know inevitably you have those along the way, but what's at the front burner of Feed My Sheep Ministries at the moment?
You know, actually, there's really not too much at all, just kind of hanging around the neighborhood.
I like that, not too much at all. Just the church, just the inner city outreach, just the women and children's shelter, just the home for men. Yeah, just the usual stuff.
You know, actually, yesterday we spent the day helping Pastor Jimmy Foote relocating his church, you know, Breaking Free. There at right there by Fresno State, where he'd been at.
Yeah, I've been over to Jimmy and Lana's place before, and so he's relocating from right on the border of Clovis, and he headed south, huh?
Actually, he relocated his church to First and Shields,
okay,
right across the street from Target there.
Okay.
You know, and Pastor Foote, Jimmy Foote, kind of like us, he really likes to get in there and get involved in outreach, and he's got a real strong food and feeding ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we always connect with him, and because, you know, him and I, we got the same spirit. We both pastors and both love feeding people.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
we spent the day helping him yesterday, and I think some of the guys over there today, but they got a very, very nice, big, huge building over there.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it was the old blood bank there across the street from Target.
Is it on First Street?
It's on First Street,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But it'd probably be north of Shields, just north of Shields there on First Street.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So. Yeah, I remember. I did go to the blood bank some years ago and donate there, and I remember on the west side of the street.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got the building in the back, but boy, I tell you, we was over there yesterday, and I looked at it, and it'd be just perfect for what he's doing. you know, because it's got a big spacious area and big spacious kitchen for, you know, the food and separating the food. And then it got a great, great sanctuary for beautiful, too, I tell you, man. That guy knows what he's doing when he's looking for a building.
It's a praying couple, him and his wife, Lana. Yeah. And location-wise, that's probably, I'm just surmising here, it's probably a better move for him because where he was, you mentioned, near Fresno State, but it was basically a business complex, an office complex. And now he's down, well, he's down where the greater need is.
Yeah, I think he's going to do real well there as far as, you know, the work, what he's doing for God. I can kind of see where it's going to work real good.
Good. Mm-hmm. That's good. So, yeah, inevitably you've probably got some outreaches and some car shows, and you're going to continue in the future the emphasis on methamphetamine. Anything long-term you want to mention or anything you're planning right now, or is it all in the still in the mental stage right now?
Well, our food distribution, our food ministry, Ken, we really going to be putting a lot of emphasis on it. We've been offered enough food to go to other sections of the city, and so looks like we're going to be taking that offer up. And right now we got a man that's really really reconstructing our one trailer where to hold a lot more weight. And so, we've had a truck that was kind of almost donated to us. It'll pull that trailer. And once we get that going, we'll have that truck and trailer servicing the Shields and Weber area. Mm. And out in that area, there's a lot of low-income apartments. Okay. And then hopefully when we get that done, we got another trailer that we're going to start working on.
Wow.
So our goal is to get food out over as much of the city of Fresno that we can possibly get out, you know. So I want to kind of put a lot of focus on that, because feeding people is a great ministry, and it's a great need. Even though we live in the breadbasket of the whole country, I think it is, there's still a lot of people that's hungry. And a lot of people, you know, that don't have food, that need food.
Yeah.
And so we want to be used by God to be those ones that get the food out there where they need.
I remember in the past you'd said that when you were getting into the business of distributing food there at the church every Friday afternoon, which you'll be doing again today, Friday, as we're recording this, some folks had said, well, you know, there's other churches that are distributing food at their locations, and you know, why do you need to duplicate their efforts? And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. That's a God thing. You pointed out one small problem is sometimes folks are way out there in a low-income area, and they've got no way to get to where the food is.
Mm-hmm. There's a problem, you know, with transportation, as you see the increasing amount of the gasoline going up. And then you know, a lot of poor people can't afford a car. You know, you got to have insurance, and you know, and it takes so much maintenance on automobiles.
Yeah.
And a lot of poor people experience this. They go out and buy a used car because they can't afford to buy a new one. And then what they do is buy a headache.
Mm-hmm.
They buy something that's got problem after problem after problem. And you'll notice a lot of people, poor people, they, if they have a car, it's broken down, and they can't afford to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, to pay the insurance on it, and then, you know, the gasoline prices is up so high. And you got people that's living on a fixed income of $600 a month. They can't drive a car.
Yeah, well, and especially in the state of California, it's not so in other states. It's kind of funny. You go to other states, and it's like you're going into a foreign country. But California, man, oh, man, there's a whole lot of hoops to jump through.
Yeah.
I mean, the car we're sitting in right now, Bruce, I'm in the process of trying to get it registered. But before you can get it registered, you got to go pay for the smog check. And so it's like cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, that's another thing, that's the smog problem. And a lot of cars are sitting because they won't pass them all.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's nothing they can do. They like it, and the people are stuck. They're stuck in a trap.
I know one or two things about that situation, Bruce.
Yeah, so you know, and then you know they can't get out to where food is at, and that's why what we're doing is we're mobile food ministry now, and so we take it out to them. You know, we visit those apartments of people that can't get out and is poor and need food. We visit those areas with food and several times a month, and where you know some of those people can eat when they wouldn't have had food.
I remember the year before last at the Christmas tree lot when you do some food distribution out there, and some folks from the neighborhood there near the Christmas tree lot near Shields and Blackstone, they came over and got some bread, and they said, "We're so thankful this is here." They said, "You know, we almost make it to the end of the month, but there's a gap, and thank God the gap can be plugged."
Yeah, and that's why we've gone mobile with our food distribution. And you know, getting out to other areas of the city. God has blessed us, and He's brought us a lot of help. You know, Jesus said, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few." But He also said, "To pray ye to the Lord of harvest, that He send forth laborers." And we picked up on that verse and understood the way you get people to work. You just get on your knees in your closet, and that's what we've done. And God has done His part. He sent us people. So we've got a great host of volunteers now that are willing to come and labor. And so we can, you know, as we get our vehicles and trailers and trucks and all those things in, we can go out and feed Fresno.
We've mentioned on the broadcast numerous times in the past that there is so much that Feed My Sheep Ministries, well, for that matter, any ministry, but we're spotlighting Feed My Sheep right now. There's so much more the ministry could do. There's so many more people that could be reached if only there were more laborers involved. There's only so much one person can do, and it's very good to hear that whether it's equipment, whether it's accessories you need, or whether it's the human beings involved, that's expanded. So now you are able to reach more people.
Yes, we are. And I want to while we're talking on that term, I want to apologize to Erica. Erica, if you listen, I'm sorry I didn't get in touch with you last week. I was very busy. We had a death in our church. But I will call you, Erica, this coming week. And we'll sit down and talk about you volunteering for Feed My Sheep Ministries. So I missed my appointment with Erica, and I wasn't able to reach her. I think she listens to the radio broadcast.
All right, Erica, there you go. It wasn't intentional. Bruce, before we started recording, I said it's like, well, his usual life is there's stuff spilling off his plate, and right now it seems to be a very full season. But in spite of that, I'm going to give Bruce's number anyway. If you've heard the vision for the ministry, if you think that's something you might want to be involved in as it expands to feeding more people in more low-income areas of Fresno, you can reach Bruce Hood in the 559 area code at 978-5469, 978-5469. Bruce, you mentioned that one of the things that distracted you last week was it was a passing in the church, and I guess that kind of dovetails into the prayer request, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. You know, Ken, we've had two people that left us in this last week, last two weeks. And that one, I don't think the radio listeners know that Chucky, the one that we've been praying for, had the double amputation, been off and on, in and out of the hospital with different infections. Well, God finally took him home, Ken, about 2 weeks ago. But he was suffering, though, Ken. You know, I could see him much, but, you know, he was... Both legs was amputated, and he was just going through it. His diabetes, they never could keep it stable. It was up real high and down real low, up real high and down real low. He was just going through one infection after the next. They'd get one cleared up, and then another one would come. They'd release him from the hospital. 2 days later, he'd be back. And the last time I talked to Chucky told me, "Bruce, I'm tired." He said, "I'm tired, man." He said, "I'm tired of all this." And so God took him home.
And for those who might remember, Chucky was the one person who was instrumental in Feed My Sheep Ministries going into the Villa Margarita apartment complex where the ministry is to this day, like 3 or 4 years later. Chucky went to the manager and said, "We need Feed My Sheep here." So I kind of believe when he stepped over to the other side, maybe he had heard, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah, so Chucky was one. And then if you remember, he mentioned him. A man named Bill. Bill came into our men's program, and he came in and he was with tears in his eyes. Bill said, "Bruce," he said, and I've known Bill for quite some time. And he said, I'm about to lose my family. He said, I'm tired of using drugs and living like that. He said, all I have is my wife and my children. He said, and I love them. And he said, my wife has agreed to wait for me and for us to rebuild our marriage. And he said, but I need to get my life right with Jesus. So he came in the program. He made a commitment to come in into the rehabilitation home. And his wife, we had mentioned his wife, Lisa, several times. She was going through treatment for breast cancer. She was going through treatment when he came into the program. And so we began to mention her name on the radio. Now, about a week ago, Lisa was actually taking her chemotherapy. She went into cardiac arrest while taking her chemotherapy. And she passed out. And she didn't get oxygen to her brain for about 12 minutes. And so she went completely brain dead. And after about a week of being on the machine, actually the machine was what was keeping her breathing. She couldn't breathe on her own because of the brain was dead. And so they talked to the family. They left her on there for about a week, almost 2 weeks. And so the family decided to go ahead and pull the plug, and within minutes she was gone. She was in the hands of Jesus. But this is the beautiful thing, Ken. Lisa, all her life she was trained by the Jehovah's Witness people. She was raised up in a home that was a Jehovah's Witness, and Lisa didn't know Jesus until just before she left. This is another one that God reached out to and saved her before it was time to leave, right before it was time. And so we witnessed Lisa coming to our church and receiving the Lord, and just like a ball of fire, wanting to do everything. You know, when sometimes some people, when they get saved, you can't stop them, man. They're just like, they're running over here. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to get involved in this. And that's the way Lisa was. And so, but definitely she's in the arms of Jesus at this time as we're talking right now. And Bill's still there with us, and I'm working with Bill every day and ministering to him.
How many children did she leave behind?
Three children, three little beautiful girls, yeah.
So now it's Bill and the men's program and the three children.
Yeah, and so, you know, our plans is with Bill is to get him through there and get him up on his feet. And to where he can, you know, take care of his children. And so we're going to stick right there with Bill and, you know, and help him through all this process. Yeah, so he's part of the church. He's real closely connected to the church. And, you know, and that's, and so hopefully, you know, everything's going to be okay. But we had those two funerals here. And so it's just been kind of hectic. So, you know, those of you out there listening can pray for Bill, because he needs your prayer. He really, if I ever seen a man that loved his wife, Bill really loved his wife, and he showed it. You know, he was doing everything he could because he wanted to be a good husband to his wife and a good father to his children. He had made a commitment to come into the rehab home. And you can tell that he made a commitment because he was willing to do anything he had to do. to get his life to the place where he had to get it, to be a father and a husband to his family. So pray for Bill that, you know, that God's hand will stay up on him and that he would get everything he needs to get out of the rehab home and go back and raise his three daughters up. And, you know, and then to have that faith to believe that one day he's going to see Lisa again. And also, Kim, we got a Charlotte Gizzy's son that has cancer from what Charlotte shared with me. And she was asking that we pray for her son.
I guess he, too, is undergoing chemotherapy.
He's undergoing chemotherapy. But he did mention to Charlotte that he's ready to go. So pray for him that God gives him strength and the will and the faith, you know, to believe Jesus for a miracle. You know, perhaps God's not ready for him to go right now. So, you know, but, our prayers can help that young man to get along at this time. And then there's a man named Clifton Smith that's on dialysis, really bad, real bad, Ken. He's got an infection in his liver and kidney right now, and he's asking that that those people out there listen would pray for him. And there's another young lady named Lindsay that has a cancer, and she needs prayer. T. Bertha is very sick and in the hospital. She wasn't expected to live, but it seems that she's gotten better. But if those people out there can keep playing for T. Bertha. Alfred Jones has cancer on the on his kidney, and he needs prayer for that. He just had a back surgery, and they found a blood clot on his lung. And now he has cancer on his kidney. So, you know, he's got multiple medical problems that are serious going on. And so if we could pray for Alfred Jones, he just had back surgery. They found a blood clot in his lung. And now they found out he's got cancer on his kidney. And the last one, Ken, would be Shannon. This young lady just called me yesterday, and she got my name from somebody, and she called me and she called to ask for prayer. She said she's having real bad family problems. She's in a separation with her boyfriend right now, and I guess they have a child together, and she wants the family to become a family again. And God's will involved in their family. So I have a counseling appointment with her next week, and I'll be counseling with her, according to the Word of God. And that's what she's asking for. She's asking for God's will. And so we're going to go over some things in our counseling that would pertain to God's will. So pray for that meeting with Shannon and all these other people. Charlotte's son. I believe, is it Billy?
I think she said Bill, yeah.
Charlotte's son, Clifton Smith, Bill, Lisa's husband, Lisa, the one that passed, Lindsay, T. Bertha, pray for Chucky's family, Alfred Jones. And that's all of our prayer for today, Ken.
I can slip in one praise report if that's okay.
Sure, it's always good to have a praise report.
Yours truly holding the microphone over here. I've now gone through three rounds of chemotherapy, and all indications are the chemo is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. The numbers, which should be very low, started off very high before chemo. Now they're getting very low again, and this is with a minimum of side effects. You notice anything different about my face, Bruce?
Well, you don't got your beard no more.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest side effect of the chemotherapy. They told me I'd lose the hair on my head, but not the hair on my face. Well, the hair on my face started to fall out, but I've kept the hair on my head.
Well, you look a little better.
People tell me I look 100 years younger.
That's what I'm saying.
So praise God. I feel quadruply blessed that the chemo is working and that I'm experiencing almost no side effects. Beards can always grow back. They're just hair on the face. If you've got a prayer request for yourself or somebody else that you'd like to have included on the broadcast, give Bruce a call, please, in the 559 area code 978-5469, 978-5469. You've got some food distribution to deal with, sir.
Right now, at this time, it's on. I got to get over to the church.
God bless you. May no weapon formed against you prosper. And may every lying tongue that rises up to accuse you be condemned and shown to be in the wrong.
Amen. Thank you too, Ken. And God bless all you listeners. Please pray for all these people.
And thank you, listener, for joining us for this week's edition of the broadcast from Feed My Sheep Ministries of Fresno.